to designate an industrial zone, I believe it is, if I'm not mistaken, Kevin, in our town or a district. And we hemmed and hawed on that as to, well, exactly where would that go? South Pomfret was about the only logical place since that's got three-phase power, but it's limited in many respects to any kind of industry, whether it be a woodworking shop or anything of that sort. So we did designate South Pomfret, although I don't think it's ever going to amount to anything. That's pretty much been industry down there in the past. When I was a boy, there was a garage, Mr. Moxley, and woodworking, carpentry headquarters for a fella. So the industry that we would allow in rural areas, I suppose, it may not happen. I don't know, but if it does, it's going to be carefully controlled by the zoning board of adjustment to make sure that it meets requirements. I don't foresee, anything in the near future. So, but it's a good question, and we just want to be able to provide that opportunity. A lot of people have home businesses, and there's really not much difference between the fact that someone's living next to a business or in a business. You have Chippers, which was a home business at first, and then it morphed into a business, and it had to have a permit for that. And that took a while to do. But if it's a business that's not a home business, it's going to have to get a permit with the conditions.
All right, thank you, Bill.
What?
So I'm going to mute you, and then just so everybody can see, because I don't know if you've driven around the bylaw, I'm just going to show a piece of the bylaw, not comment on that, but just so people know where it is. So in your, first off, the town has a few districts proposed. There you can see four of them there, the South Pomfret Village District, as you can think of the Tego area, the rural district, which is basically everywhere else in town, Flood Overlay District, which is the flood zone, and the ridgelines, which are the ridgelines. And in the, what Pomfret has, which is a little bit different than some bylaws, instead of listing everything you can do, it more lists things you can't do, and then has a general catch-all of what you can do. So you can see, if you're looking at my screen, which you hopefully are seeing, a list of things you can't do down in the South Pomfret area. And then there are some things that just get a permit. And then there are some things that go through a conditional use process, which is a whole heavier duty review of standards. And so I'm just going to take you. So you see this here. This is the catch-all provision. Any use that's not exempt, permitted, or prohibited is a conditional use. So you can see all sorts of things could fit in there, except the things that are prohibited. And so, for example, a outdoor shooting range or a kennel or heavy industrial, and those have definitions in the back. So I'm going to go back to look at everybody here, hopefully. Hang on a second. And I'm going to come down to Cynthia Hewitt. I'm going to unmute you. Cynthia, do you have any comments?
I'm the secretary.
Ah, very good. Dottie Deans.
One question I have. Who is the lawyer for the town?
Okay, that's a good question. Does somebody, let's see.
Stitchell and Page represents the town.
Okay.
And where are they located?
In Burlington, Stitchell, Page, and Fletcher.
Do you have another question, Dottie?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. I'm going to mute you again. I'm coming to, hang on. I'm going to scooch down here. Uh, Cyrus, I'm going to unmute you, and then I'm coming to Ellie next. Cyrus, do you have any comments or questions?
No comment right now.
Excellent. And Ellie, I'm coming to you next. Ellie?
Hi. When I first moved to South Pomfret, there was a woodworking shop next to my house. And when that buzzsaw was going, it was quite loud. It was in the old schoolhouse. But that's the only industry that was concerning of me at the time.
Okay, thank you, Ellie. And I'm going to come to Emily and Indine next, which I know is not really Indine, but that's what it shows up as.
I have no comment. I'm Kathy Peters, who's on Dean.
Okay. Emily, I'm trying to unmute you, but I can't do it for some reason. Can you unmute?
I unmuted myself. I'm here to listen as a select board member. I really have no comment. I am grateful that there are as many participants as there are. It's very heartening.
Thank you. Yes, we have 40 people on. I'm going to come to Harold Schwenk next.
Yes, just a short comment. I'd like to thank Billy for the letter that he circulated today. I found it did help clarify some points. I found that helpful, and I'd like to applaud the work done by the entire Planning Commission over some time now in multiple hearings in a very difficult area. So thanks for your efforts on behalf of the town.
Thank you, Harold. Next, I'm coming to iBook G4, which I believe, if I remember right, is Jerry Fields. And Jerry, it looks like you got to unmute yourself because I'm trying and not able to.
At this time.
Okay, thank you. And then who's ever simply identified as iPad, I forget who that was.
You've got came on us now.
That's Alan Blackmer.
Alan Blackmer. Okay, so Alan Blackmer.
Yes, thank you, Kevin. I also want to thank the Planning Commission for all the work that they have done. And speaking on behalf of the Zoning Board of Adjustment, I believe that their work is going to give us a lot more specific material to work with and should help us in making decisions. I also wanted to say that I did meet with the Select Board a couple of months ago, and I expressed to them my views that I felt that the ZBA should have more authority written into the document than is presently there. And I also feel that there should be a mechanism for enforcement of ZBA decisions. There was a mechanism for enforcement in the old bylaws that go back to 1976, but there is nothing written into the present ones. So I don't really want to discuss those matters. I just wanted to say that I have met with them and we talked at some length about those two items. So thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. And I'm going to go to Jane and then to John Moore after that and then to John Peters. So coming up here, hang on. Drive around here a little bit. Oh, I've jumped past some people. Oh, goodness. Hang on one second. So coming to Jane, I'm going to unmute you. Jane? Looks like you'll have to unmute yourself.
Yeah, I have no comment, thank you.
Okay, wonderful. And John Moore. John, can you hear me?
Yes. I'm going to yield to the people that aren't on the Planning Commission. Billy gave quite a long presentation there, so we'd like to hear from the public. I think I may have some comments later.
Wonderful. Thank you. John Peters.
I just want to thank the Bill Emmons and John Moore for putting all of this work in. I do want to, at some point, share my reasoning for the sound provision part, and I don't know, maybe I should do that later after everybody's got their first chance to speak, but...
Sure. I'll just trying to write little notes about people coming back to people. All right. Come up to John Wright and then John Ricketson. So, John Wright.
No specific comments at the moment. I'm just trying to sort out what is reality after confusing listserv conversations.
Okay.
So thank you.
And then John Ricketson.
Oops.
That's okay. We both did it at the same time there.
We double muted. A very brief comment. Just, you know, in the short number of years that I've lived in Pomfret, I haven't seen this much discussion, and it may be just because I'm home and the COVID thing and I'm paying more attention, but to me, that's just kind of a vote for maybe it needs a little more discussion, a little more time. I don't know what the plan is for when this would be voted on, but I would hope there'd be a little more time personally for me to absorb it because I'm still catching up from all the talk on the listserv. Thank you.
Thank you, John. And as we loop around, I'm going to ask, or especially at the end, I'm going to ask Emily to just kind of give everybody a going forward little playbook, you know, what might happen and how might that happen. So hopefully that'll answer your question then. So now I'm moving on to Karen Hewitt, Osno. Karen.
I have no public comment.
Thank you. Kristen Campbell Etsy.
And no comment.
All right. Laura Kent and Sherman.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I have a comment on process.
Okay.
In this discussion on this document, there has been talk about future versions. This is a living document. We can change, you know, and improve it as we go along. My comment is, given the history and track record in Pomfret, that could be another 40 years before it gets changed. And so I think, given the reality, instead of hurrying to do and approve a really good document, it might make sense to wait another 6 months and make it a better document in terms of process, which would also perhaps get us beyond the COVID-19 Zoom meetings where we could actually gather together as a community and talk about this and address people's concerns in a more substantive manner. But when I hear it's a living document, the last zoning regulations were barely alive, it seemed to me. So I think we should do better rather than just say we're going to revise it in the next year to make it better.
Okay.
That's my comment.
All right. Thank you. Coming up, going to go to Lindsay Hyde.
No comment. Thank you.
Okay. And then who's ever identified as Iris Plea. Can you identify yourself too? Iris Plea. They may not. Okay. Can I mute you? Somebody's waiting. I have to let them in here. Marie is coming into the meeting. Marie Cross. So 1 second. Just going down the list here. So if you can see my screen, you can see the list, so you can see how you're coming up. So Lydia Spitzer is coming up next, and then Margaret. So Lydia.
I have... Stop again. I have no... comment at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Margaret Siphon.
Yes, hi. This is Margaret, also known as Peggy.
Peggy, yes.
Yes, hi. I am interested in knowing a little more about the sound decibels and the light restrictions, but later. Otherwise, I have no comments other than thanks to all of the work that has been done already. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave the meeting. So there we are. I hope to read and hear more about all of this. But thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Peggy. And hopefully, just so the I'm sure somebody's taking notes for the Planning Commission and for the Select Board, if they can follow up, especially around that sound and light issue to Peggy, so you could reference the particular parts of the bylaw or that type of thing. I'm sure it would help. Marie Cross coming up.
Okay.
So we can hear you, Marie.
Hi, how are you? I just joined in, so I'm just joining in to hear what's going on.
Okay. So no comments. That's okay.
No comments.
Okay. Good. And I'm going to go down and get to the next person here. Pam Pickett and then Phil Deckard are coming up. Pam, you just unmute yourself. Yes.
Yep. This is Pam Pickett. I too appreciate all the work that's been done on revamping the zoning regulations. And I just want to express I'm concerned about the elimination of the noise standard. While I appreciate there's verbiage included about dangerous or noxious conditions, I believe that's really subjective, and I'd like the Select Board to reconsider having the measurable decibel limit that the Planning Board had included originally in there.
Thank you. That was a nice specific comment. Phil Deckard. I've unmuted you. Oh.
Do you hear me?
I can hear you, Phil, yes.
Okay. I was struck by the word industrial, and it has a connotation for those of us that grew up near the city of smokestacks and lots of noise. And so I think it would be better not to use that as a term, because what... If you took the school and put a business in there sewing face masks for something, it really would have very little impact, as opposed to making wood stoves or iron wood stoves. So I think it would be better to try to figure out another word for that, and then rely on performance standards such as noise and traffic and things to control it. The other thing I went through, I made lots of little notes which I'll pass on to the Planning Commission, but but I'm not going to go through that. The other thought I have is, having observed here and in other towns I've worked for, that I think it would be good to try to adopt this fairly quickly and get it in use. And then either in a year and a half or 2 years or less, come back. And at that point, the town would have had time to see if there were issues that came up in terms of using it. And there would be also more time to deal with some of the more difficult issues, and I can't remember what it was, but it will take discipline to actually do it. But if people know that it's going to be, revisited in a year or so, then hopefully they'll focus on it and get it done. But I'm fearful that if it gets dropped now, that we're going to pour it. Karen's going to go there without a workable zoning ordinance for another year or two or three. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. And just again, for people's clarity, not being, you know, supportive or against. I'm just going to take people to just show folks. So industrial gets used, and then that says includes light industrial and heavy industrial, and light industrial has a definition and heavy industrial has a definition in the back of the bylaw. And again, going back to the South Pomfret zone, heavy industrial is talked about there. And again, your bylaw, the draft bylaw, kind of says these things can't happen. And unless it says they can't happen, then they kind of can happen. That's your approach. So just a note, look to the definitions and stuff. And it sounds like that noise is an issue on several people's minds. So I'm going to go to Scott. Scott Woodward, do you want to say anything? Or
I do. Thanks, Kevin. Okay. I don't want to get into all the specifics that were in the letter, but I just want to say off the top that I, too, appreciate the work of the Planning Commission. Many may know that I served on the Planning Commission for several years, and I actually worked on the zoning regulations with many of the same people who worked on the zoning regulations, including Phil, back in, you know, the 2013-2012 period. So, you know, that effort to get the zoning regs up to speed. But I definitely appreciate, and none of anything I've said so far is to take away from the work that's been done. This is a healthy discussion, so I'm glad it's happening. I do want to say right off the top that we do actually have time if we want to create a runway for ourselves to think about this more and give ourselves more time. We have that. And it's very clear that the legislature, because of COVID-19, provided the ability for us to basically extend out the period to have hearings, to collect public input, to adopt the zoning regulations for as long as we see fit. Right now, the zoning regs we're talking about are actually already in effect. The ZBA is already applying these zoning regulations to any permit, to applications that come in. So it's not so much a question of adopting or not. They're already in effect. And the other thing that's important, I think, for folks to keep in mind is that while the law does not command perfect conformance with the town plan, our town plan is a little bit unique in the language it uses. And that was intentional back when the town plan was drafted. We had, as Kevin may recall, and some of the planning commission members may recall, we had a lot of dialogue about industrial uses. And that's how we got to where we are today in the town plan. So there's still an open question to what degree the town plan and the zoning regs need to be in conformance with each other. And just to point out, initially when the zoning regs were first put out last summer, they actually prohibited industrial uses throughout the town. So this is actually the first hearing tonight where anybody's had an opportunity to really talk about, because it wasn't that July hearing was the opening hearing that it was the first time any of those changes that occurred after the July version of the zoning regs, that was the first hearing where this occurred. So we're just now having the conversation. And lastly, I want to speak to the sound provision. And I just want to say for the record for everybody to know that I did vote to remove, among with my fellow board members, I did vote to strip out the quantitative sound provision. But my reasoning for that was that we had made a promise with Purple Crown in a settlement discussion that we would do our best. We would consider making the sound provision in that settlement a townwide standard. And that was a quantitative standard that was vetted legally and by engineers. And unfortunately, it kind of got twisted up, but we ended up with no sound provision because I think there was some discomfort with the sound provision that was put in place with Purple Crown. But what I want to say about that is, others may disagree, but we, in my view, made a gentleman's promise that we would adopt that sound provision as the townwide standard. And it's a good standard, and I hope that, that we take that up again. So those are my comments.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. Steve Chamberlain, I think, is my next person.
No comments this time. Thank you.
Okay, Steve, thank you. And then I have some phone numbers ending in 1121. I'm going to unmute you. So who's ever on the phone ending in 1121?
Yeah, this is Bob O'Donnell. I'm a former resident.
Oh, hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Former member of the Planning Commission. Just listening in, do want to indicate great thanks to the Planning Commission. They put a tremendous amount of work and effort into the new ordinance, and I hope the selectmen do adopt it. Thank you.
Thank you. Now I'm going to go to, hang on, Bob, I'm just going to make sure you're muted again here. And I'm going to go to the next phone, which is ends in 3205.
Hi, that's me. I'm Ellen DeMurl.
Hey, Ellen.
And I do have some comments I'd like to make.
Okay. Go ahead.
First, I'd like to urge people to look at the old zoning that dates back to the 1970s to see how spare it is before advocating on holding off on adopting these proposed rules. At this time, Pomfret truly has no provisions to guide new development so that it is in keeping with the patterns and characteristics of the neighborhood and the community. And yet that is the purpose of zoning, to guide the development so that the investment we put into our homes and our property here is safe from ruin by inappropriate uses on the land next door or nearby. If you read the old zoning, you will note the lack of the following language and concepts: traffic and parking, lighting, visual impact, neighborhood characteristics, building height, screening, drainage, erosion and stormwater runoff, riparian buffers, natural resources, and other concepts. And yet I believe all those considerations are vital in evaluating and guiding new development in town. Over the next year or so, the town can test drive the new zoning and gain experience that will be valuable in determining which provisions might need revision and how it might be best accomplished. There is plenty of time to have that community input, but the zoning needs to be brought into the 21st century first. The argument that the new bylaw isn't perfect is disingenuous and misguided. Updated zoning is desperately needed and has been for decades. Pomfret needs bylaws that address today's residential and commercial building techniques, character, and the pressure to develop. I applaud the diligent, thoughtful, and hard work of the Planning Commission, and I urge the Select Board to adopt these bylaws. And that takes care of it for me.
Thank you, Alan. And now I'm going to come to who's ever on the phone ending in 4689.
It's Orson St. John, Kevin. I finally got connected. And I'd just like to kind of compliment what Billy said about the businesses. We are and really want to promote home-based businesses, small entities, nothing too large. I would suggest that people, if they think about the business environment in town, is to actually look at the standards in 4.1.4.2 of the draft bylaw. And if you can visualize whether it's a commercial entity or some kind of a light industrial entity wanting to come into town, look at those standards and try to apply those to that which you think might be the entity that's going to come to town. And I think you'll see that the CBA has the necessary tools to govern so that it's not one of those unattractive commercial developments that you might see in a major commercial area like downtown Boston and those places. So we're extremely interested in preserving the rural character and the likes of that, and in Pomfret, and that's behind our efforts to have some good guidelines. And Phil, thanks to you, many of them were from your original work for the Planning Commission, and we deeply appreciate that. And that's it, Kevin, for the moment.
Thank you, Orson. And just again, if you're seeing my screen back there, I have gone over. Hopefully, Scott, can you see my screen?
I can.
Okay. Oh well, if you're right, Orson's on the phone. He can't see it. You have to be on the computer. But I've just pulled up just so people can see, and so you can go back in later. And I do realize that people don't just read zoning left and right like I do. So it's kind of a mystery, a murder mystery novel in some ways. So you have to know the right part to look at. And so just so people can refer to that later, there are both general standards, as you can see in part 4.1 here, and that applies to all development. And so it goes over heights and wetlands and riparian buffers, and you name it, creating lots and hazardous materials, signs, parking. And then there are what he talked about in 4.2. There are the conditional use standards, and those apply to the things that would go through the conditional use process. So there's some permitted uses, and then there's conditional uses. It's another set of standards. Applies there as well, just so people can go see those. And again, that's kind of pages 19, 20, 21, 22 in the draft bylaw if you want to flip ahead. I think that I have been through everybody on the list.
No.
Oh, no, good. So who's that? Who just spoke?
Ann Reynolds.
Ann Reynolds. Oh, I'm sorry, Ann.
I found you again. That was there. Very clever of me.
Oh, very good. Okay, so Ann?
My technology lessons are paying off. I just wanted to have a little shout out to thank Ben Brickner, who was so helpful to us on the Planning Commission. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you. Anything else, Ann?
No, that's it.
Okay, very good. Now I do think I've gone through everybody once. I'm just going to zing down the list here, and I think I've got everybody. So I'm going to come back. I know some people said they might want to talk some more. So I'm going to come back to John Peters, because he said he might want to talk about sound some. And then I'm going to come back to Betsy Siebeck.
Yeah, just wanted to say a few things about my reasoning for removing the sound provision. I don't think it's necessarily a bad idea to have a sound provision in there similar to what was in there. Although I don't think we've had a lot of issues in town with sound. And by having one, it then makes the town liable to defend any suits. So there is the potential for it to cost the town a significant amount of money. Secondly, under the provision that was in there, which would have been the same as artistry, you'd notice that it's 70 decibels at the property line during the day. At the nighttime, especially in the rural areas, and maybe because we're all inside, it doesn't matter, but it actually potentially allowed for, at least at the source.